Good evening. It's good to be here tonight, and you know, sometimes you just can't wait to be in the Lord's house. And this afternoon, you don't always feel that way. Quite often you do it out of duty and you don't really, I don't know what it is, don't really feel like it. But this afternoon, I've got to be honest with you, I really felt like coming to church tonight. I was just excited about coming. I wasn't perhaps so excited about the preaching, but I just wanted to be in church. And it's good to be here in the fellowship and sing the hymns. And I get just as much, I don't know about enjoyment, it's not the right word, but I enjoy playing and just hearing you guys sing and praise the Lord for what he's done for us. And it's a real blessing. And we really do have something to sing about and something to shout and say amen. So that has really been a blessing tonight, the singing. And I trust it's been encouragement to your own heart. And is a good introduction to the preaching tonight. Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 22. That doesn't sound right. It's always bad when you start off on a wrong note, but I don't think it is Matthew chapter 22. In fact, it's not. It's nowhere near it. That's a really bad start. So we're not even going to worry about it, okay? So we're going to go to Genesis instead. Genesis. Let's start in Genesis. I was going to go there anyway. I had one of those moments this afternoon where I had so many scriptures I was looking at and passages I was trying to study and trying to work out what order they fit into the passage of, or the context of the message. And as it is often the case, you write down the wrong one. Okay. Did I say Genesis somewhere? Did I give us even a reference? Okay, let's start with a reference here. I'm going to have to find one now. All right, let's go to Genesis chapter 12, shall we? Genesis chapter 12. And I hope I haven't given the impression I haven't studied at all. Certainly haven't started on a good note, have I? All right. Genesis chapter 12. We're just going to read three verses. Genesis 12, verses 1-3, just the first three verses. You've all found Genesis chapter, it's an easy book to find. But let's read it, shall we? Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Amen. Let's pray together, shall we? Father in heaven, we just come before you, Lord, and thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us. And Lord, we thank you for the privilege that is ours, that we can come together and sing your praises. And Lord, take this opportunity to open your word. And Father, we know that it is spiritually discerned. Lord, we understand that the natural man understands not the things which be of God, for they are foolishness to him. But Father, we need the Spirit of God tonight to open our eyes, our understanding, Father. And Lord, we pray that you would speak to each of our hearts. Lord, I pray that you would speak to my heart. Lord, that we would be both challenged, encouraged. Lord, and if necessary, Lord, rebuked in an area in our life. Lord, we don't like those things, Father, but we know that it's necessary for us, Lord, to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray, Lord, that he would be lifted up amongst us, Lord, this evening. We pray you'd give the words, Lord, that we need. You'd speak to us, we pray, and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Sometimes you come to prepare a message and there's a great deal of thought on very many topics. And you need some time, some quiet time where you can just sit down alone with the Lord and get your thoughts together. And this particular passage of scripture here is probably, it's just an intro into the life of Abraham, and we're also going to look at Lot as well. And I want to contrast two thoughts tonight. I want to contrast the love for God versus the love for this world. Because we know that they are at opposite to one another, and the two cannot coexist in a believer's life. It's impossible. The Lord Jesus said, you can only serve one master. You'll either serve the things of this world or you will serve God. There is no medium where you can say, well, I do both. No neutral ground. There is no place where we could say, well, Mondays through Fridays, I live for the things of this world, and Saturdays and Sundays, I live for the things of God. That is not the case. It is a way of life which is continuous and is what we experience on a day-to-day basis. Now, there will be and is times in our life where we will lose focus. That happens regularly. I understand that, and we can see that in Abraham's life. But it should not be where we just switch off from either. Well, Lord, sorry, it's, your time is finished now. Now it's time for me to get about doing the things of this world. That should not be the case. In fact, the New Testament is full of warnings about the relationship between the believer and this world. And I don't want to go too much through the New Testament, but just to use these two men as an example. And what you will find in a relationship that someone has with the world, and what you will find in the relationship with someone who has a love for God. Because there's some big differences. One thing that I've noticed in my short life, which has just been extended to 36 years as of last Thursday, is that things change over a period of time, but they happen gradually. There's no great change necessarily. There are a couple things that will change, and they are big changes. One is when the person gets saved. That's a massive change. But from when a person gets saved to when they finish this life's course, there are incremental changes. They are small, generally speaking. Now, there are some big moments, perhaps, and some big blessings, some big defeats, all those kind of things. But you will notice that in a person's life, there is a gradual change. And the Bible talks about growing in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus. It is not being saved knowing everything at once. No, it is a process that happens over a period of time. Salvation is in an instant, but the Christian life is a process. It is a journey, and Apostle Paul referred to it as a race. He referred also as a battle, and he referred to it as a number of things, but it is a thing that happens gradually. So, for that reason, oftentimes we make our decisions based on very, very limited projected thought. Does that make sense? Am I using too many big words? Let's make it simple. Sometimes we make the wrong decisions because we're not thinking about what's going to happen tomorrow. Is that a little easier? See, we base our decisions very much on the here and now, on what we think will happen tomorrow. Very few people base decisions on future events or potential things. No, we look at the here and now. And when you look at the love for the world and you look at the love which we should have for God, then sometimes we don't realise the benefits, or we don't realise the problems that it will cause. And we need to think a little seriously. And at this time, we're able to take a look at two men's life and have a look at a period of life where we can see what happens when someone makes those choices and decisions. What happens when a person loves God, and what happens when a person loves this world? Because if we knew what was going to happen before we made the decision, then I dare say it would change very much the decision you would make. It would change it because of either the consequences or the blessings. Let's have a look at this in the life of Abraham and Lot tonight. All right, let's have a look in Genesis chapter 13. We're going to look through a few of these verses, and if you'll follow with me, bear with me, but I'm going to try and make a point. But in Genesis 13, we're right there as on the same page if you've got the same Bible as me. But in Genesis chapter 13 and verse 10. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from the other. Okay, if you love the things of this world, and if you love the world, you'll get what you want now. Okay, that's the first point. You'll get what you want now. See, the world is very much focused on fast things. There's fast food, there's fast cars, there's fast finance, there's fast all these kind of things that you can get your hands on right now. And it's very easy to gather things of this world quickly. And we find here that Lot, his desires were of the things of this world. We understand a story here where Abraham and Lot had some quarrel about their herds. And Abraham comes to Lot and says, look, Lot, the land that we're in is too small. We need to split up. We need to divide. You take what you want and I'll just take what's left over. And there's a whole nother message in that. I'll just briefly touch on it. But don't get out of sorts and don't leave a quarrel unsorted or unsettled. Because if you do, then you'll probably end up like someone like Lot. You say, why do you say that? Well, if you look at Abraham, Abram was the one trying to reconcile and trying to get things right. And Lot just was quite happy just to take the easy way out and take what he wanted. And he took the path of the world. And you'll find out that there's a progression now that Lot takes. Unresolved conflicts or unresolved quarrels will quite often lead a believer into the world. It's true. You watch anywhere you look around, you'll see it. Unresolved things. People head off and they end up in the world somewhere. So if you follow after the world, you'll get what you want pretty quickly. We find that Lot gets himself some land and it is pointing towards Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, if you love God, he'll give you what's best for you, but he'll give it to you in his time. So that's the difference. You don't miss out, you just need to wait. Let's have a look in Genesis chapter 14. Look in chapter 15, sorry. I've got some passages here that I've been writing down. I haven't got them sorted. In chapter 15. Abraham said in verse 2, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abraham said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. Abraham here is in a situation where he really wants a son. And if you read throughout Abraham's life, you'll find that is probably one of the biggest focuses of his life is to find a son. And he goes through various means of trying to obtain one. But here, his desire is, I want a son. I need a son. I need an heir. God, you've promised me one. But what did God say? He said, you're going to have to wait. See the difference? See, a person who loves God is a person who's prepared to wait. A person who loves the world is not prepared to wait. You see, because the world can give it to you right now. So why wait when you can get it now? There's a big difference, isn't there? The world says, have it now. God says, wait. And our world is full of things. You think about 24 months interest-free, 36 months interest-free, 4 years interest-free, you can have it now. Just come and take it. Just come and grab it. Our world is based on satisfying our felt needs or what we think we need right now. Whereas God says, no, wait. For those that love God, they have to learn how to wait. Lot wasn't prepared to wait. First point, you'll have to learn how to wait if you want to love God. Genesis 14, verse 12. You'll find here in this passage that there has been a battle take place, Sodom and Gomorrah. And in verse 12 it says, "And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. And there came one that escaped and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre the Amorite, brother of Eshcol, the brother of Aner. And these were confederate with Abram. When Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, and smote them and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought back his brother Lot, and his goods, and the woman also, and the people." One thing, if you have a love for the world, you won't be able to help the world. You won't be able to help the world. You see, the world's got a problem right here. They've just lost a battle and they need some help. But Lot, the worldly Christian, is in no shape and no position to be able to help them. And notice who it is who has to come to the rescue. It's Abram. You see, worldly Christians don't help the world because they're worldly. You see, it takes someone who loves God and who's living for God who's able to help. Now, I'm not standing up here proudly and saying, look, I'm a love God, I'm a spiritual, therefore I'm going to go out and save the world. No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, though, the principle is this. If you love God and if you live for God, then you're in a position to be able to help those who are in the world. But if you are not, if you are a worldly Christian, you will never help the world. What are you going to help them do? You're the same as them. You see, we think, well, if we become like the world, then we'll be able to help them. No, it's quite the opposite. You've got to be separate from the world so that you can help a world that is lost and dying and going to hell. That's the difference. This whole idea of being like the world so you can reach the world is total rubbish. And it has no foundation in the scripture, but in humanistic thinking. You see, humanistic thinking acts like this. We've got to become like them so that we can reach them. No, you've got to be the totally opposite so you can actually help them. And you see, Lot here, the Bible calls him a saved man. But because of his position in the world, he was unable to help them. And yet Abram, with a very few men, you read how many men he had, 318. That's not many men. But he had God on his side. And he was able to have a victory and able to bring Lot back. Now, at this point in time, you have to ask the question, why did Lot go back? He's just been rescued from a situation where he should never have been in. I believe this is that way of escape that God gives every believer. But if a believer deliberately says no, then enough's enough. And God will let him go. God will let him go and fulfill every desire they ever wanted to do. And you'll wake up sometime, some place they never dreamed of. But Lot, unable to help. Are you a help to those in the world, or are you a hindrance? You see, if you love the world, you'll be a hindrance. Because people need to see saved people who love God, who have the hope that lies within, have something to live for. You're not only able to help those who are in the world, but you're able to help backslidden people. See, there's not many backslidden Christians out there doing the work of God. In fact, I don't know of any. Why? Because they don't have the power of God. Abraham had the power of God, and he was able to help. Something else we notice. The world, what it offers. The world has a lot to say about positive thinking. But how do you get positive thinking out of a negative mind? It's not possible. You don't get positive thinking out of a negative mind. And yet, that is what the world would have us believe. What does the world offer you when you're down? What does it offer you when you're down? Well, let's have a look at what God offers us when we're down. In Genesis chapter 15, we've just read that. The Bible says Abraham went out to battle and he's won and he's come back. And after these things, in verse number 1, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." You see, when a Christian is down, who do we draw strength from? We get it from the Lord. You see, we're not relying on ourselves to be motivated to have this positive feeling. No, we get our strength from the Lord. And the Lord comes to him. And you'll find in chapter 13, chapter 17, and chapter 18 that God comes to Abraham and he speaks to him specifically when he's in time of need. You see, God is the one who encourages us. You think about David. Read through the book of Psalms, the number of times when David was down. Where did he draw his source of comfort? Where did he draw his source of strength? He got it from God. You see, when you're down, you can't find a place in the world that's going to help you, because they don't have the answer. See, our answer, our hope, is Jesus Christ, is God himself. But let's have a look what the world has to offer you when you're down. 2 Peter chapter 2. And this is what the world will give you. Verse 6. "And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. And delivered just Lot," there's a mention of just Lot, "vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." Do you know what the world will give you? It'll give you vexation of spirit. That's all it's going to offer you. Vexation of spirit, frustration. It's going to give you everything that you don't want. You see, short term, we said that to start with. Short term, the world seems to offer so much. But long term, have a look at it long term. I've spoken to Christians who've been in the world for not very long, and they've still put on a smile. They'll still manage some sort of a smile. But I've spoken to Christians who've been in the world for 20 or 30 years, and they're the most miserable people you'll ever meet. They're miserable. Because the world offers you vexation of spirit. All this positive thinking that they talk about, it's rubbish. It's all negativity once you get down the road a bit further. Because it doesn't have the answer. Only God has the answer for our life. Only the Word of God can give us direction. So, God gives us hope. God gives us strength. God comes to us and he encourages us. Abraham was encouraged by God. But Lot was vexed. He was vexed by the world. Let's have a look in Genesis chapter 19. This was a really challenging thought. But in Genesis chapter 19, and I'm just going to read three verses, verse 1 and then verse 9 and 10. It says, "And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot seeing them rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground." Have a look where Lot is. He's in the gate. Now, the gate was recognized as the place of leadership. And the men of the city who were respected would take the time to sit at the gate and answer and hear and talk about all the issues of the city and what else was going around. And they were men of wisdom. And if you just read that passage there, you would say, wow, that's what a position he's got. What a position he's got. And the world will give you time when it suits, is what I've thought about in this passage here. The world will give you time when it suits. Because let's have a look in verse number 9 and 10. And it says, and they said, stand back. This is the men of Sodom. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now we will deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut to the door. And that's a fairly big change of events from Lot sitting in the gate to a pack of men trying to rape him. Because that's what they're trying to do. But can you see what the world offers you? The world offers you a position when it suits them. But when it doesn't suit you, when it doesn't suit them, they'll do with you what they will. That's the difference. You see, let's have a look at Abraham. If you love the world will give you time when it suits, but if you love God, he will give you time when it matters. He will give you time when it matters. Let's have a look in chapter 18. This is a wonderful passage of scripture. We're just going to read a couple verses to start with, and then verse 16. But in verse number 1, it says, and the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day, and lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. And he said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. And then he goes on what he's about to do. He's about to be hospitable and give him a meal and drink and so forth. But this is an appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ to Abram. To Abram. And I've often wondered what would it be like to have the Lord Jesus come and knock at your door. And just to talk. But could you imagine, this is the Lord Jesus with two angels, and he comes to Abram, who's in his tent. And he says to Abram a few things. He talks to him about his wife, Sarah, and he's going to have a son and so forth. But let's have a look in verse 16. And it says, and the men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom. And Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And you think, wow, imagine that. They're about to go and do the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham gets up with them and he escorts them out to wherever they're heading, the direction they're heading. But before the Lord and these two angels go, have a look what the Lord says. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? It's almost like the Lord's, he goes to turn away, and then he turns back and he says, before we go, I've just got to talk to Abraham about a couple of things. Can you imagine that? He has such a relationship with Abraham, and Abraham has such a relationship with God. Now the Lord says, hang on, before we go and do business, we're just going to have a talk now with Abraham. And you read that passage there of chapter 18 and you see what Abraham discussed. What does he discuss? They're discussing the destruction of Sodom. But you find that Abraham is interceding on the behalf of those in Sodom. Because he says to the Lord, he said, Lord, if you find 50, would you still destroy it? You couldn't do that. And the Lord says, well, for 50 I won't. And then he says, well, what about for five less, for 45? Would you do it for 45? And he said, all right, Abram, for 45, I'll spare the city. And they go down and down till they get down to 10. And Abram says, in verse 32, and he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And then it says, and the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abram, and Abram returned on his place. See, the world will give you time when it suits, but God will give you time when it matters. When it really mattered, God had time for Abram. But God didn't have time for Lot. And you know how we know that? Because we read in verse 1 of chapter 19, it says, there came two angels to see Lot. But who's missing? The Lord Jesus is not there. It's pretty serious, isn't it? You see, because the Lord Jesus didn't have time for Lot, but he had time for Abraham. And he came and he talked and he communed and he ate. And I don't know what else happened there, but they had some time together. But when it got time for God to do what he's going to do, he didn't think about Lot. And I really believe that if it hadn't been for Abraham, God would have destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah and he would have taken Lot out with it. I believe he would have. Because you have a look in verse 29 of chapter 19. And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abram and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow. That's how I believe it. Hadn't it been for Abram, who had some time that God gave him, then Lot would have been destroyed with the rest of them. You see the difference between somebody who loves the world, somebody who loves God? See, people who love this world don't have time for God anyway. The only time they've got time for God is when they're in trouble. The only time they've got time for God is when something's wrong in the family. The only time they've got time for something for God is when something's wrong at work. The only time they've got something for God is when the nation's in trouble. That's the only time. And that's the only time you'll find Lot begging. He's begging when his family's in trouble. But it's too late. It's too late. I want to say one other thing, make one more point. There's actually two, but I'm not sure if I want to mention the last one. But if you love the world, you'll have to sacrifice your family and loved ones for what you don't want. Let's have a look in chapter 19, verse 4. Genesis 19, verse 4. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known men. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you. See what happens? See, you love the world and you'll sacrifice your kids. And it won't be in the place you want to sacrifice them. This man was going to sacrifice his two daughters for those filthy people. Just to save face in front of two angels. See, that's where it ends up. You don't sacrifice your kids the first day you walk out. Or the first day you get attracted by the things of this world. It takes some time. But it eventually happens. Now, you can read further on. We're not going to take the time to go there, but remember the Lord comes to Abram and says, I want you to sacrifice your son. And you say, well, that's pretty harsh. That's not very harsh at all. Abraham, I believe, counted a privilege to be able to sacrifice his son to the person he loved. And the reason being is because he believed that God would raise him up. He didn't know how or what was going to happen, but he went by faith, obeying what God said. Hey, people who live for God sacrifice their children to the Lord. It's true. Do you know what they say? They say this, Lord, the kids that you've given me, they're yours. They're not mine. I'm just being lent them, just for a little bit. But Lord, they're yours. And you see, that type of sacrifice brings pleasure to God. Doesn't it? That's the type of sacrifice that God is well pleased with. And that God rewards and God blesses. But you have this other idea that the world doesn't want that much of you. It'll give you a good time. You don't have to worry. It's fine. That's not what the Bible says. Lot sacrificed his kids for something he didn't want. You read on the rest of the story, and if it wasn't true, you'd think you were telling a lie about what eventually happened. It's a sad story. Very sad story. One of the saddest stories, I believe, in the scripture. You read about what happens to Abraham's children. You find the nation of Israel. You'll find that God trusts Abraham. Verse 19 of chapter 18, God says this, "For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abram that which he had spoken of him." There's a big difference, isn't there? You've got the man who loves God, and you've got the man who loves the things of this world. And look what ends up. And you see, I've talked to a lot of young people over a period of years, and I've talked to some older people as well, and it's sad to hear the attitude concerning the things of this world and what they do and get up to in the world. And I'll say it like this. How pathetic is it when a person says this, "I'm just going to go off and do my own little thing, and it's just going to affect me." You know, that's the biggest load of... It doesn't work that way, friend. It doesn't work that way. You see, Lot vexed his soul daily. And I believe Lot's going to be in heaven. But let me tell you something. I don't believe his children are going to be there. I believe his children are going to be in hell. Because Lot said, "It doesn't matter. It's fine. I can go off into the world. I can enjoy the world and do the things that the world offers, and it's no big deal. I'll still have devotions with my kids. I'll still tell them that that's wrong. I'll still..." You know, they got married. Yeah, but he should never have been there. He should have been as far away from the world as he could get, like Abraham was. Instead, he got as close to it, then eventually moved into it, and then the world moved to him. Before you know it, where's the kids? You see, what you do today, it's not just going to affect you. Sure, you're saved. Sure, you're going to heaven. Fantastic. But imagine having a couple empty seats in your mansion because you live for the world and the kids didn't make it. It's pretty serious, isn't it? See, what you're doing now, how you're living your life now, is affecting people around you. And as a parent, I see it more now than ever. More now than ever. Life is serious. Decisions that we make are serious. It's not trivial things we talk about. Rather, it is life and death. The option of loving God or the option of loving the world. Hey, if you could put everything down in front of you as to what would exactly happen, whatever choice you took, it'd make it easier, wouldn't it? But the reality is, Abraham did all these things, how? By faith. He did it by faith. God promised him, but he believed it. Where are we at tonight? I'll say this. Lot is remembered as a fool, but Abraham is remembered as a friend of God. In James chapter 2, the Bible refers to him as the friend of God. God has a friend. Has God a friend in you? Are you serious about loving the Lord? Or is it just about the here and now? It's just about the things of this world? What you can get, what you can take? Because everything's got a price tag. Everything's got a price tag. It's a serious thought. Loving God it's a choice. It's not a feeling. See, the things of this world, a lot of that's a feeling. Whether you're feeling like you're having fun or not, then you'll do it or not. But loving God's not a feeling. But it's a deliberate choice of, Lord, I will love you, I will obey you, I will please you. By your grace and through your strength, I will. Is that what you want in your life? You want people to be able to write about you and say, he was a friend of God? Or, no, they were a fool. They just got the things of the world all mixed up. Let's pray, shall we? Father, when we look in your word and see, Lord, the warnings, the examples that you've given to us, Lord, we can only look at them and sometimes we shake our heads in disbelief. Other times, Lord, we look at ourselves and we shake our heads with disbelief. To think that anything in this world could compare to what you have for us. Lord, it seems unimaginable that we could take the world and say, no thanks, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to analyse, Lord, everything in our life. Lord, because these things don't happen at once. Lord, this is a process that happens over a period of time. And unless we're serious, unless we recognise, Lord, that the things of this world have a grip on us, then eventually, Lord, they will take control. And Lord, if not careful, Lord, we may end up even like Lot or worse. Help us, Lord, to be obedient to the word that we know. Lord, it's our responsibility. You've given us, Lord, your word. And Father, when you speak to us, Lord, it's our responsibility, Lord, to act in what you've shown us. Help us, Lord. We need your strength and grace. We thank you for this time and ask your blessing upon this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.